number one. And we've been here, I believe it's already four different Sunday nights, and we're going to just pick up here on a Wednesday night. We're going to look at it in verses 12 through verses 14. Really, through verses 1 through 14 is really at least from verse number 4 or verse number 3 to verse 14. You'll find that it's really all one verse, and it picks up and it winds in and it winds out. But really, you have the verse, it's all one verse, and it's almost one writer, so I believe it's Ivor Powell, said it's like the apostle got so caught up because these verses are so rich. It's like the apostle got so caught up that he forgot to use any to end the sentence. But we know he didn't lose sight of everything because he did add punctuation. And so that must mean that the Holy Ghost wanted this to be all one lengthy verse. And it does begin to pick up. But let's look in verse number 12 and we'll read to verse 14. The Bible reads like this, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Really interested in verse 13 and verse 14. And we'll bring you the message that the Lord's laid upon our heart. As in looking at it as it is in our day, as in it is how it relates to us on this Wednesday night, on it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Lord, we love you. We do love you. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for shedding the blood. Lord, we realize that it was just five verses before us in the text. The Bible said, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And Lord, I realize there would be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Lord, and I'm thankful that is and involves the riches of grace. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. God, as Brother Ballou said in his book, that as Christ hung between heaven and earth, that it was Him being our mediator, reaching up and grabbing the hand of God, reaching down and grabbing the hand of man. And for the first time since the garden, united man back to God. And I do thank you for the great intercessory work of Jesus and the blood that was shed upon Calvary. God, I do pray that you'd anoint us now. Give us unction. God, give us liberty and power. God, as we'll simply just try to take a fork and take a knife and be able to cut and to dissect the meat of the Word of God, that we may be able to feed and feast upon it now. God, I pray for a continued hedge about our church and our families. God, I pray that what will be done in these days will be done in a way that you can get glory and honor. God, I pray that we'd be a testimony to somehow in our community. God, maybe revive us and help us to be thankful more. God, for just meeting together. God, maybe it would instill some faithfulness in Lord, because we realize as quick as this thing come, God, our religious liberties one day may be taken away just as soon. And God, I pray that you'd help us to take advantage of it when we have the chance and have the opportunity. God, I realize there'll be a day that we'll wish that we can come and get back together and shout and have a choir. And God, I pray that when you allow us to get back here, that God, that we'll take full advantage. That as David said, while I can and have my being, I will praise the Lord. God, I pray you'll do that now and get glory and honor. God, take the word of God, the word of truth, and preach it to our families that's scattered abroad. We'll thank you and praise you. For it's in Jesus' name I humbly ask. Amen and amen. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. I find in verse number 12, it says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted, watch this, in Christ. So the Apostle Paul is writing here to the church of Ephesians, where Timothy's fixing a transition to be the pastor, and he's writing to them, and he's writing to them about the Savior. He says, who first trusted in Christ. I've read in the book of the Acts of the Apostles that we find that there was many Jesuses in that day, but we realize this also, that that's nothing new to us, that there was many Jesuses in that land. It was a common name, but what set Jesus' name apart from everybody else was Jesus Christ, the appointed and the anointed of the Father. They was none other than Jesus. He was the one sent from the Father. And so the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, "In whom ye first also trusted in Christ." I'm thankful for the Savior this evening. I'm thankful He is the Savior of the world. I'm glad He's not just the Savior of a certain few or a certain elect or a certain nation. But I'm glad that if Jesus, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." I realize in the day and our time that nobody wants the word of truth anymore, because it reveals some things to us. But I'm glad that there was a day that I realized I was the sinner and that He was the Savior. And all these other religions, they're trying to work and figure out a way they can get to heaven. But I'm glad that there's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. The only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man shall come to the Father but by me." Paul even said in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I'm thankful, and I realize this, Kenneth Copeland and all them Joel Osteens and these modern day TV evangelists want to say that there's many different ways to heaven. But I don't care what Barack Obama has to say, there is but one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. It's not through the church. It's not through the Catholic Church. It's not through the Pope or a priest. It's through Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that it's Jesus. And there is no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Thankful that I first trusted in Christ. So Paul is writing about how they first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. Boy, I like the Apostle Paul, and I like the way that old preacher talked, and the way he wrote in the text. You can find it through the same wording happens. He said in Ephesians here in verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted." And I do like what Paul said, "For I know in whom I have believed." I'm glad it's not in where I have believed. There is so many people that doubts their salvation because they didn't bow at an altar or in a 12 o'clock service or a 6:30 service or a 7 o'clock service. But I'm glad it's not in a where I have believed. I'm glad that this tonight, that it's not in what I have believed. Amen. It doesn't lie within who I am or what I am, but it lies within in who I have believed. It's in whom I have believed. Paul said, "For I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." Thank God in whom I have believed, not when I believe, not where I believe. Some people have problems about their salvation because they don't know if they got saved on a Monday or a Tuesday. I'm not trusting in the day of the week. I'm not trusting in the Sabbath or the first day.
I'm a trusting in whom I have believed. And Paul said, in whom ye also first trusted. I'm glad you say it. See, it means something. That's the reason we don't add to the Word of God nor take away from it. Because we could take out that four-letter word whom and put in a where, and we'd all be confused in where we had to go to get saved. Does that mean I got to book a plane ticket, fly to Israel, walk up to Golgotha, see where they've put a road and guardrails across it? Does that mean I've got to go to Israel to get saved? No, I'm glad it didn't say where. If it said in a whip and the preacher told me that I had to get saved, does that mean I've got to wait till next Sunday to get saved? No. You say, preacher, when? Well, how do you get saved? Well, first of all, it's in whom I have believed. But hey, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You say, preacher, you mean I ain't got to be a church to get saved? Listen, friend, the only place you've got to be is where God's at. And if the Spirit of God has drawn you and convicted you today, I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you're at. This may be the first time you've ever tuned in, but can I tell you, God will save you right back, right there in your living room. He can save you by your fireplace. He can save you on your front porch. He can save you on your lawnmower. I'm glad it's in whom, not where, not what, not when, but in whom I have believed. He said, in whom ye also trusted. Watch this. He's talking about the Savior, but Brother Darrell also begins to talk about the Scriptures in verse number 12. In whom ye also trusted after that ye watch heard the word of truth. This New Age movement and this evangelical crowd that's out today, they want to take away having the Scriptures present at salvation. And I realize that may not be real popular in the day and time we believe, but God didn't ask me to be a popular. He asked me to be the preacher, and my preacher's not always popular, and he's not always liked. I was thinking today, it ain't up to me to make folk like me. God never asked me. Matter of fact, listen, prophets and preachers have never been wanted, but they've always been needed. Amen. You say, listen, he said to have the Scriptures. I was reminded in Romans chapter number 10, I believe it's in verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't get saved without the Scriptures of the Word of God. The Bible says that you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. That word water is the symbolic word for the Word of God. You say, why is it so important? Listen, Paul said, you heard whom you also first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. So that means before you can get to the Savior, there first of all has to be the Scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But in Romans chapter number 10, I believe it's in verse number 14, it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he preach except he be sent? And how shall they call on whom they have not believed? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, that's the reason we pass out gospel tracts, is because it's got Scripture on it. You say, why is it so important, preacher, in the day and time that we have a Bible and that we hold the word of God true and we stand fast upon it? Can I tell you, friend, that Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. He even said that the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Watch, full of grace and truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You've got to have the truth of the Word of God. Paul told Timothy that these Scriptures which thou hast known from a child shall make thee wise unto salvation. Everybody's trying to throw it out. There's preachers that get up without an open Bible or anything on their pulpit try to pat you on the back and make you feel good. Can I tell you, it ain't up to us to make folk feel good, but it's up to us to relay them the truth of the gospel, the word of truth. I'm glad that Bible said it's the word of truth. Can I tell you, that is Jesus. Jesus said he was the way and the truth and the life. It's important. Jesus said in John chapter 6, I believe it's in verse 6, John 6, 63, it's the spirit that quickeneth and the flesh profit nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, that they are spirit and they are life. Hey friend, the word of God being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, which appeareth and fadeth not away. Ye who are kept by the power of God, you cannot get saved when you want to. You say, preacher, how do you know that you had to be saved? It's because the word of truth told me I needed to be saved. You say, what did it tell you? See, the word of truth, it's perfect and it cannot lie. And so when I realized that, when this word told me I was a sinner, and it showed me for the wages of sin is death, but this same Bible that took me to hell and crawled me and hung me out over the charred walls of the damned, revealed to me my sin debt, revealed to me my sinful damnation, also showed, took me to bloody Calvary, showed me the cross, and how that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, for the wages of sin is death. But to get the same book and the same word of truth that showed me I was a sinner also revealed to me that he was the Savior, so that I could be born again. The word of truth. He talks about the scriptures. Amen. You gotta have the scriptures of the word of God. Listen, now there, I realize there's a battle on this word of truth. But I'm listening. He says that the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. You say, how does it abide forever? Because it forever has settled in heaven. Hey, friend, I realize there's a war on it, but it ain't the first time. There's been a war against it since the first century. They've tried to do away with it. They tried to stamp it out. They said when William Tyndale was putting that, trying to get the first Bible printed into that language, they gathered up all of his writings and all of his books, and that's what they lit his feet with on fire. They thought they'd done away with that, we stamped it out. But a little while later, there was one that come out of the Catholic Church named Martin Luther. And they said he got saved. He got born again. Are you hearing me? And they said, how did you get saved? Who told you those truths? He said, just so happened I found one of the tracts of William Tyndale. You say, that's a coincidence. No, it ain't. Because God forever settled his word. And you can't stamp out what God's already written and already printed. Amen. Hey, listen, they may get few, they may get far, but friend, it's always going to be here. Amen. Hey, amen. Hey, I feel like preaching tonight. There's a Savior. He's talking about the scriptures. Amen. Hey, but he's talking, you say, oh, why is this word of truth so important? Listen, if you neglect the word of truth, you know what happens is, this world has neglected the word of truth, preacher, and therefore they reject the. If you reject the scriptures, you reject there's a Savior. And that's what they want to do. Because this shows me how dirty I am and shows me how righteous he is. It shows me that I can't do nothing by myself except sin and a butchery. Hey, but I'm glad that this book shows me a way to heaven, shows me the path of righteousness, shows me how to live. And when this world's going in doomsday preppers and stuck in their shelves, I've got bread when I'm hungry. I've got a light in my darkness. I've got an anchor in the storm, friend. When everybody else is frantic and everybody's panicking, I'm glad I got something that holds me down. Oh, yes. When you neglect the word of truth, or you listen, when you neglect the word of truth, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 6, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. When we neglect the scriptures, we're saying we don't need that. We don't need its reproof. We don't need its rebuke. We don't need its exhortation. We can get along fine without you. That's what our government did. That's what our churches are doing. That's the reason they're growing real big on the outsides, where they don't preach the word of truth. They say, preacher, you're real narrow-minded. I'm narrow-minded as that Bible, because this Bible's what showed me that I was headed to hell. But it's what changed my family. It's what changed me. It's what took me off the wrong road and put me on the right road. This is the only thing I got. Oh, Thomas seen his hands with his physical eyes. But can I tell you, I've seen him with my spiritual eyes. I ain't never heard his voice audibly like Adam did. But I've heard it a lot louder than that. Hey, I'm glad for the word of truth that's been given to her. Hey, you say, how long will it last? His truth shall endure throughout all generations. Amen. Thank God for the truth of the word of God. He begins to talk about the Savior and how it's just the beginning. The Scriptures, I'll get there in just a minute. I realize the title don't play into the introduction, but it will when we get to verse 14. He says, in whom you also trusted, there's your Savior after you heard the word of truth, the Scriptures, the gospel of your salvation. Amen. So he begins to talk about salvation. So, and that's, listen, he's putting them in order. You've got to have the Savior. I realize we couldn't get to heaven. We wouldn't even have a Bible if it wasn't for the Savior. You've got the Savior. Then the Scriptures come, and then salvation. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When you have the Scriptures there, and the Savior there, and the Spirit of God there, God, the Spirit will allow the Scriptures and the Savior, they'll click together, they'll make sense, because God hath manifested His Word in these last times by preaching. And so the gospel of your salvation, I'm glad he didn't say of his salvation, but I'm glad that became a personal pronoun, your salvation. So that takes it a step further outside of the Ephesian church, and it steps into Brightman's life, the gospel of your salvation. You say, preacher, you could build a lot bigger building if you wasn't so hung up on that word of truth. Can I tell you, this is the gospel of my salvation. This is the only thing getting me to heaven. And if it's the only thing that's getting me to heaven, it's the only thing that's getting you to heaven. We cannot neglect the gospel of our salvation. He said, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Boy, there's a lot of people that don't like that verse. I just don't know how people take a Bible and skip over verses. But I like that word, seal. Amen. Which means you can't break that seal. Matter of fact, there's some seals in heaven, and they looked around, couldn't find nobody worthy to loosen the seals of that book. And old John fell down, and John wept, and there was a touch on his shoulder. Said, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to loosen the seals and open the book. Boy, I'm glad when he opens the book, ain't you? Boy, there's some times when he opens the book. I mean, I've been in church and I've done some preaching when God wasn't opening the book and I was trying to do it. Boy, it wasn't fun when I was doing all the opening. But I thank God for nights like tonight when God just sits in and he just opens the book. There's been times I went to that study, read every commentary, read every book on every subject, looked and typed, went to the Greek and the Hebrew, and he just wouldn't say nothing. But there's been times when I walked in, didn't open that book, didn't open that commentary, but I opened it up and there would come a breeze from heaven and God opened the book. And that's exactly what happened in Luke chapter number 4. The Bible says, and Jesus stood and he opened the book. And when he read in the book of the law, all eyes was fastened on him. I'm thankful for when he opens the book. And John was weeping. He said, there's none worthy to open the book. But Jesus was there and he opened the book and he loosed the seals. You want to know why? It's because he closed the seal and he's the only one with the key. And listen, when Jesus, when you called out, when a whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, he gets saved. God seals you with that Holy Spirit of promise. And the only way that seal can be broken, listen, if the seals of the scriptures can't be broken, neither can the seal of your salvation be broken. When you first, I like it. Man, I just like my Bible, how it's worded. Listen, you say it's hard to understand. No, it's just us that has a hard time. That Bible's written at fifth grade level, but it didn't say in whom you trusted the second time, or the third time, or the fifth time, or the 500th time, but it said in whom you also first trusted in Christ. What this thing is a whosoever will and a one-time gospel. But I ain't got to get saved every time I mess up. I got to confess and I got to get cleansed. But listen, all my sins was future tense to Calvary. When I got saved, God saved me for eternity. He sealed me with the Holy Spirit of promise. I got sealed until the day of redemption. I got sealed. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. He said, and no man shall pluck them from the Father's hands. These things that I were written that you may know that you have eternal life. If you're doubting your salvation tonight, can I ask you, why would Jesus come, live as a peasant, die as a criminal, do what he did, suffer the things he suffered, pay for what he paid for the first time that you mess up, God to snatch that from you? Can I tell you, God is not immature and he's not an Indian giver. What God gave you as salvation is there no matter how bad you are, no matter what you've done. I'm glad there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of promise to the believers. Amen. He begins to talk about the Savior, the Scripture, the salvation, but he then begins to talk about the security of the believer. You need to understand that. I've talked to 20-year-old church kids that don't even know the doctrine of eternal security. And I've talked, and they come to me and they say, "Preach, brother, we got a lot of problems going on in life. I don't know if I want to go here and do that. There's no stability." I said, "Do you even know the doctrine of eternal security?" And they say, "No." I said, "How? That is your first step in life. When you get saved, nothing else matters. You need to know if you're going to stay saved the rest of your life or not. Amen. Nothing else matters. I'm in the doctrine of eschatology. Don't matter. All them other doctrines you learn in Bible college don't matter. If I lose my salvation, I don't need to worry about anything else but trying to stay saved. But I'm glad I ain't got to worry about staying saved, because he saved me. And if I didn't save myself, that means I can't lose it. That's what like one old preacher said. You can't unhatch a chicken and you can't unborn a child of God. Jesus saved me, and Jesus is the only one that can cast me out. And Jesus ain't going to do that. Amen. And amen. The security of the believer. But look with me in verse number 14. The Bible says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The Bible used that word, in whom ye also trust. I'm sorry. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. The earnest of our inheritance. Now, I don't know if Miss Mandy's watching this or not, she better be. Amen. No, I'm just playing. But when we put in that offer on the house, she said, all right, they've accepted your offer, but they want $1,000 earnest money. Because listen, there used to be a time, Brother Darrell, when you as a kid and when you as a young person, your word, you could shake hands on it, and that was good enough. But now in our day and time, you have to, when you go into an agreement, they want some earnest money. You say, what does that word earnest mean? Well, if I can just put it in old good old redneck language, it means you got some skin in the game. Which it means you got some skin in the game, and you're putting something in it. I was talking to a man the other day, didn't even realize I was going to key into a message, but it just fit right in the study this morning, and God brought it back to my attention. He said, I learned a valuable lesson when I was young. He's about 50 years old, 55, but Brother Darrell, this is what he said. He said, I had a vehicle out there for sale. This man come back, I know him, I thought I could trust him. He said he wanted that car. He said, I'll be back Saturday morning when I get paid to buy that car from you. He said, all right. He said, you got to take my word on it. He said, I believe you, I trust you. He said, I'll take your word on it. And so he said, right after he left, it's another man pulled up. He said, he had some money in his hand. He said, I want that car. I'll put in some money in on it if you hold it for me. He said, I wish I could, you know. He said, but this other guy's done spoke for it. I'm going to trust him. I'll give him first shot. But if he don't come Saturday morning, I'll take your number down. I'll call you. He said, and you can get it. He said, all right, but I'm in the hunt for a car. He said, so I said, well, I've already gave my word to him. See, his word meant something to that one man. He said, come Saturday afternoon, he's been trying to get a hold of this man. That man never showed up. He said, he finally got a hold to him. He said, oh man, I forgot to call you. He said, right after I left, he said, I bought another vehicle. I'm sorry about that. He said, I turned around and called that man. He said, look, I told you I was in the hunt for a car. He said, I already bought my vehicle. He said, thank you for reminding me. Remembering me anyhow. He said, Bryant, he said, I learned a very valuable lesson. He said, you don't ever take nobody's word for it. He said, always get some earnest money down. That way they got some skin in the game. And that's what we did. We put the house, that agency wanted $1,000 down as in earnest money. Because what we have in our day and time is a lot of tire kickers is what us country folks say. And all they want to do is be nosy. They want to talk some people down, pick some people up, but can I tell you this? Jesus didn't just come down and say, I love you. He said, I'm going to take you up there. He said, I'll be back. I'd be doubting that real bad in these days we're living in if he didn't have no skin in the game. But can I tell you, when Jesus came down, when they caught him at 33 years old in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they took him into Pilate's hall and they beat him and they scourged him, took him into Herod, took him to Pilate, sent him to Herod. They beat him up 40 times on one side of his back with a right-handed soldier and a left-handed soldier hit him on the left side. Beat that crown of thorns in his head, put that cross, that stripped him naked, made him carry that cross through that tight, narrow street called the Via Dolorosa, up Golgotha's hill, and while they was fighting them other soldiers, them soldiers was fighting them thieves on them other crosses, when it come Jesus' time, he didn't fight, but he laid down his life for his friend. Can I tell you what was happening and what was going on? That was Calvary's pledge. Calvary, when Jesus said it was finished, the devil, not knowing what Jesus knew, jumped up and down. As the psalmist, boy, I feel like preaching. The psalmist David said, the bulls compassed me round about. And as the devil was no doubt, the devils around the earth was dancing. And the birds quit chirping. And the sun went down. The devil thought, that when he heard the words that it is finished, no doubt he thought he probably missed that last letter T and only heard I. But can I tell you, Jesus said it was finished, not I'm finished. And that was Calvary's pledge. It paid our redemption. It paid our sin debt. But that wasn't the end. That was just the beginning. And that's what Paul is writing writing here. He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance, which means that was just a down payment. Now, I don't know about you, and I'm already about to explode tonight, but can I tell you, when I look at Calvary, tears begin to flow. My heart begins to beat, because no greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But can I tell you, I don't know if I could handle anymore, but can I tell you, that was just the beginning. That was just the beginning stages in God's eyes. That was just the earnest, the down payment, something to hold us through until we get our inheritance. Boy, I'm telling you, that's good, ain't it? Is Calvary not good, Brother Darrell? But you mean to tell me that he ain't got it, that it's not over with yet? You mean I ain't reached the end? I've not even reached the fullness? We put that $1,000 down. That's something that we liked. That was something that we wanted. But we was willing to pay the full price. Are you hearing me? To pay the full price so that can become mine. Matthew chapter 13 talked about a man when he found some treasure in a field that he covered up, and he'd go and sell all that he hath to buy that field. Or what man will go after and seek it after that pearl of one pearl of great price? Can I tell you, he paid that price, but it ain't over yet. He said, he told him that before he even died. He said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. No doubt they begin to shout. He said, but hold on. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, and where I go ye. He said, whether I go you know, and the way you know. He said, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, if Calvary is that great, what is yet to come? Calvary's pledge, the earnest of our inheritance. Boy, that was just the beginning. And Calvary's pledge, what a demonstration of love. How Christ died for the ungodly. What a demonstration of love and mercy and grace. But to our eyes, it can't get no better. If he died, if I had to do over again, I'd live another life for the Lord. I'd live 10 more. I'd live 1,000 more. If there was no heaven, if I could just experience of the friendship and the fellowship and the help and the peace that God's given me on this earth, it's worth serving God. If there was no mansion, if there was no place, and this was all there is, and I could live without peace and joy, or I could live with peace and joy, I'd do what I'm doing tonight all over again. But in our eyes, we look at it and say, that ought to be the end. But God says, if you think that's great, wait till you get home. This is just some earnest money showing you I got some skin in the game. Amen. It's Calvary's pledge. But it said, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Boy, just on the outskirt of that, you thought about, wait, hold on a minute. The redemption, you mean we got to wait on him to redeem us? For my sins, he's not saying now. Your redemption, we've already got that redemption in verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. He's not talking about your sins being redeemed by the blood. But in verse number 14, boy, I wish y'all was here, we'd shout and run. Can I tell you, this is not talking about redemption of blood, but it's talking about the redemption of this body. He's talking about in who, he's saying, the redemption of the purchased possession. Who is the purchased possession? Whom did he buy? He died us. He paid for the church. He paid for us. And can I tell you, 1 John chapter number 3, boy, I like memorizing scriptures. 1 John chapter number 3, it says, beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, that we shall be like him, for we shall see see him as he is. Watch. And every man that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. Can I tell you what John is saying? The same thing like Paul said. He said we wait for the redemption of the purchased possession. Listen, there is a different step in your Christian life. You ought to take a time out and run and shout. You know, always shout about the redemption of blood. But can I tell you, it gets sweeter than that, because there's coming a day when I get to step out of this body and I'm going to get a glorified body and I'm going to be like him. There'll be no more sin. I'm not living a messed up body. I'm not going to have a body that's going to sin. I'm not going to have a body that's going to live in a constant state of failure. I mean, my body's going to be changed. Oh, I'm changing. Listen, if the rapture of the church took place, I'm changing clothes. But it ain't this one that you see. I'm going to take off this flesh. I'm going to get to take off mortality. And I'm going to put on immortality. I'm going to be like him. I have a body that's 100% every day for eternity. 100% completely submitted and surrendered to the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be perfect. And Paul said, we wait and we look for the blessed hope and the appearing of our great God. But can I tell you now, he has sealed us with that Holy Spirit of promise. But can I tell you, there's going to come a day. The Bible talks about he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then that tribulation's going to take place. But can I tell you, people scratch and people worry about the revelation. They already think we live in the days of the apocalypse now, or the beginning stages of the tribulation. They don't know nothing yet. But can I tell you, I don't go to bed wondering one minute, is the Antichrist already on the scene? Did I miss the rapture? I go to bed every night with peace in my heart. Are you hearing me? Because when the Spirit of God leaves, I'm leaving with him. Praise God. Jesus said, I go. Oh, man, Brother Darren, this may be for me and you, but I'm having a good time tonight. But Jesus said, hey, Peter said, no, you ain't dying. You ain't leaving us here. And Jesus said, look, he said, it's good that I go. He said, for if I go, he said, I'm going to pray to the Father. And the Father, he will send a comforter. He will send another comforter. And he will abide with you always. He will not leave you comfortless. Boy, I'm glad that I've got a promise that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I'm glad if he's leaving here, that means he's taking me with him. Amen. He's talking about Calvary's pledge, but he's also talking about the consummation of perfection. The consummation of perfection. You realize when we get to heaven, we get that glorified body that is the consummation of what God's been working on. God ain't done with us. God ain't done with us yet, church. God puts us in a fire. I was praying this morning, and God said, hey, I don't mind preaching long tonight. Everybody's already home. I get an extra 30 minutes in here somewhere, don't I? But I got to pray this morning. I said, Lord, I don't like being put on the wheel. I don't like being poured full of water. I don't like being marred in the hands of the potter. I don't like being thrown in the fire. But I was reminded what Ironside F. Beatmeyer said. Brother Buddy, he said, God never puts his children in the fire when he ain't standing with one eye in the window and one hand on the thermostat. God's got his eyes. I was listening on the way up here, Brother Piercy singing, I've got a friend in the fire. And I'm glad to tell you, God ain't done with you. And God ain't done with us. God puts us through things to perfect us, because the Holy Ghost is getting us to present us one day as a bride without blemish and one without spot. You say, I don't like that. Can I tell you, when I got married, I woke up early that morning. I made sure my beard was trimmed. I made sure my suits and my shirt had no wrinkles. Boy, I wanted to look good. And you know what my wife did? I mean, I was glad I was the groom. Her and her bridesmaids got up about 2 o'clock that morning, went down there to the salon, got their hair just perfect, got their nails done, makeup was just right. Oh, you know what she was doing? She was making herself ready for her groom. Oh, friend, that's what the Spirit of God's doing. He's putting us over there in a hair dryer. He's making us sure our makeup's good and making sure our clothes ain't got no wrinkles. That He may present us. Oh, friend, my it's deep waters. It's done got over my head tonight. Oh, but can I tell you, He is perfecting us to purify us. That He may present us. And what a day it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to be, but I do find it in Revelation 19. The Bible says that He come out of His chambers with a robe dipped in blood, with a name written on His thigh, a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. Marriage in between that and that great battle, there must be a wedding. There is a marriage. And I'm telling you, that ain't Israel, but that's us. And the Holy Ghost, I know we're in heaven in Revelation 4. I ain't got it all put together, but somewhere in that time, the Spirit of God's going to grab the bride, and Jesus is going to come out, and we're going to meet at the altar, and there's going to be a marriage. Hallelujah, friend. And there's going to be a marriage, and then He's going to walk us to a table. The Bible's going to, He's going to take that apron. He's going to tie it back around Himself. Maybe the same apron He took off in John 13. I don't know. But friend, He's going to take out our apron and He's going to serve us. I mean, God. God help. We get to heaven and the God of heaven is going to serve us. Why shouldn't we serve Him here? Amen. He's going to serve us. And then then the horse is going to come in and we're going to saddle up and we're going to come back down at the end of that 70. I'm off on this. I don't know. But it's where we're at. He said He's going to come down. But all these battles we've been fighting for Him, that battle, we ain't going to lift a sword. And Israel's going to be backed up in that great valley. And the Antichrist and all nations is going to have their guns and their artillery pointed at Israel. But that eastern sky is going to split. And God, we're going to ride back with the Lamb of God. And He's going to speak one word. And He'll smite the nations. Amen. I'm talking about the purchased possession, the waiting of the redemption of the purchased possession. Amen. Oh, that's the consummation of perfection. Oh, the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That is the celebration of praise. The praise of His glory. Them elders, right after we got to heaven, I don't know, you reckon, I don't know, I got foggy tonight, it'll be all right. If I'm wrong, I'll correct it later. But you wonder if them elders fall down at the sound of the rapture coming in. I don't know. But in Revelation 4, it ain't but 10 verses. John said, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and there was a voice, one up behind me of a trumpet. That same word is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. That means what Paul has done, just already writing, what John and we are going to experience in Revelation 4. And he said, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice, one behind me, say, as of a trumpet, saying, come up hither. And John turned. He was called up into the third heaven. And it wasn't just 7, 8, 9 verses long. Later, the Bible says that he falls down. I don't know how it's going to be. You don't either. But I wonder if he's on the throne. And we're standing and them 24 elders fall down. And they say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. Father, for thou hast created all things, everything, all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created. I don't know what them elders may be talking about. You probably don't either, but I wonder if they're maybe looking at the church and said, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created. I'm telling you, God created man in his image. We are for his pleasure, we are here for his glory, and we are here to do whatever he wants us to do. We are here for his praise, honor, and glory. Amen. But there is a celebration of praise. And I don't know how to say it no better than that old song said, that while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising him. And my voice will never tire nor grow old. And my song will ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me. Boy, I'm telling you, while the ages roll, man, I'm telling you, we ain't going to shout because we've seen multitudes join our church. We ain't going to shout about our buildings. We're going to get to heaven, we're going to shout about how good our life was. What I find in heaven, well, all we do is say, worthy is the Lamb. We say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If they say, I don't like that church, it's too loud, you ain't going to like heaven, and you ain't going to like hell neither. Amen. But can I tell you, when we get to heaven, we're going to run, and we're going to shout, and we're going to worship. That's the reason I thought it'd be good practice to go on and try to do it now. Amen. I ain't waiting to get to heaven and be no stranger. I'd like for church to be, when we get to heaven, there ain't no change. Amen. And we ought to get to heaven and be exciting. It ought to be exciting here. I like that song, Bubba. Bubba's done. Bubba, I didn't know he could. He walks around the house singing, everybody will be happy over there. Can I tell you, I'm glad we'll be happy over there. But I'm glad over here, I get to get happy over here about getting to be happy over there. Man, I'm telling you, I'm glad it ain't all there is. I'm glad I ain't got to be old and gray-headed to think and rejoice about heaven. I'm glad I've got a better place to go, and I'm so glad that I know him. And when I leave this old world, I've got a better place to go. Can I tell you, heaven's not so far away, and we'll reach it some glad day. My final home. Oh, what a day, what a day, what a day, when my Jesus I shall see, and I'll look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Hey, let us then be true. And that's the way we can end it. Let us then be true and faithful. Hey, I don't want to quit one day. Listen, if he ain't going to fail me one step from home, I don't want to quit him 1 mile from home. Let us then be true and faithful. Marching, serving every day with the cross of Jesus, marching as to war. Can I tell you, let's go on another mile. Let's read our Bible again. Let's pray again. It could be this very day. It could be in the morning. Let's get in while we can. Let it be real while it can. And I'm not enduring this thing, honey. I'm enjoying it. Whether there's 100 or 10 or 1, I'm glad I'm not doing it for that, y'all. And I'm glad I'm not doing it for everybody else. But I'm glad I get to serve God for him. Amen. You say, why do you serve for him? It's because he died for me. Amen. More than that could have been the end. But friend, it was really just the beginning. And I'm glad I got a better place to go. Amen. Boy, I wish I could sing. I wish I was one of them preachers that could preach and sing. Amen. I get jealous over them folks. If I could, I'd think I got a better place to go. Amen. Boy, I'm glad today that I can be a part of the work of God and the building. I'm glad that we get to be in on it together. Thank you for being faithful in prayers and participating when we can. Tithes and offerings, I do thank you for that. We'll get back with you, Lord willing. Father, we love you. We thank you and praise you. Thank you for meeting with us tonight, Lord. Thank you for the liberty that you've given us. I don't know how long we've been, Lord. I know, Lord, everything's closed right now, so that'll be all right. But Lord, I do thank you, God, for the promise that one day, this Lord, you said over in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, they said that in them last days, the mockers will say, where's the promise of his coming? But Lord, I'm glad that I'm looking up
Lord, in these days, everybody's walking around looking down. But God, I'm walking around looking up. Lord, there was a massive earthquake in Idaho and by a tornado in Utah. And missionaries is telling me today that's never happened. Boy, they were living in a time where there's earthquakes in diverse places. We're living days of pestilence and disasters and a turning away of the truth. My Lord, you said that you'll watch these things. You'll know that summer is nigh. Boy, everybody's looking down, Lord. I'm looking up. And Lord, I'm looking up and I've got an ear turned and I'm listening for the trumpet. Because I realize that this could be the day. And what a day when the roll is called up yonder. I'm glad I've got the promise and the assurance that I'll be there. And Lord, I pray that you'd keep us humble, keep us hungry, keep us holy. I pray, God, I pray you keep us together as a church. Bless the Word of God. Lord, a lot of times this textual preaching gets hard. It gets difficult, long hours. But Lord, I'm thankful it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And God, I'm glad we can pull up to the table, take a fork and a knife and be able to cut and dissect the Word of God. And God, and feed our hungry soul in these days. Lord, I'm praying that when these days are over, God, our churches will begin to fill up. God, I'm praying revival sweep across our Bible Belt once again, God, and our nation. God, I believe, Lord, I'm hearing old men that taught me that are saying America's too far gone. Lord, if it was, I'd close my Bible, burn my suits, and go fishing. But Lord, I believe that God still has and still desires revival. Lord, if you want to blow in a valley and cause a bunch of bones and give them life, I believe you can blow in a body that's still trying. God still has a desire to make it great once again. God, I pray for our nation, our leaders, our government, God, our churches, our pastors and preachers, and our Christian families. God, to be the witness that we should be, make the right decisions, and have a heart for sinners. Bless the preaching of the Word of God and the ones that listened. I pray you help them. Lord, it be my... Lord, I've been preaching for years, Lord, and these not... Well, I ain't been preaching for many years, but Lord, I believe I'm in 8 years now, and I've been preaching that you don't have church at home. And God, and I believe there's a lot of people even in our church that is not experiencing God at the house. And maybe, Lord, I don't like it, Lord, but just maybe you are allowing them, God, to gather in as a family and establishing family altars and family prayer time and Bible time. And thank you, Lord, for just slowing us down for just a little while. God, out of our fast speed society, God, to maybe take some time to gather in around the Word and gather around prayer and have God back at the house. I believe with all my heart the reason you got kicked out of the White House is because you got kicked out of our house. And God, and now it's slowly we're kicking you out of your house. But God, if we get you back down at our house, God, we wouldn't kick you out of your house. And God, just maybe you get back in our White House. God, I pray your blessings will be upon the day tomorrow. Keep us all safe. Give us wisdom on the upcoming days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for tuning in. And no doubt you've given liberty somewhere or another. I don't know how it got here, but I believe as a mutual friend in common. And I thank you for tuning in with your family. You have a time of prayer if you ain't already have it. And you have a good rest of the week. And we'll be